Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is episode 38 of Defining Truth. We have some very interesting things to talk about today. One, Newsom suddenly cares about homeless people. Probably not. And a Pakistani suspect connected to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard tries to kill U.S. politicians, but he gets caught. All right. Well, it's been a week. And a lot has happened in the last week. But let's start off and say, if you don't follow us already, please go and follow us, Defining Truth, on Instagram, so you can stay up to date on news and everything going on that we put out there. Also, check Defining Truth on YouTube. We put this podcast out, and you can see our lovely faces if you want to listen along with watching us. And follow us along anywhere you get your podcasts. That's Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, etc. Defining Truth on YouTube and Instagram. Give us a follow. Also check out DefiningTruth.org, DefiningTruth.org, to find out more about who we are, and pick up a copy of the book, Defining Truth, self-titled. It's a great book, tools for you in the culture war. It's 10 chapters, and it will help equip you to have those difficult conversations that we're having more often than not. Also, check us out on Real Life Network. Real Life Network. That's RLN.com, or download the RLN app and you can listen to Defining Truth on the Real Life Network along with a lot of other things. All right. So let's get into a couple things here. This is going to be a shorter episode today, but we're going to talk about Newsom and his homeless nonsense. Like we just mentioned, a terror suspect who was arrested plotting to kill U.S. politicians, and the Taylor Swift concert terror attack, which was also foiled. So for any Swifties out there, you might want to listen to this. Brandon, why don't you kick us off with the homeless issue?
Yeah, so the homelessness crisis has been front and center in California's political landscape, specifically since Newsom has been in office. It's something that he's kind of touted as a big goal of his that he's clearly, anybody who's been to California can see, he's epically failed at. But he has some recent actions and statements on this critical issue. So Newsom recently has expressed frustration over the lack of progress on homelessness in California, particularly targeting local governments now. So instead of it being a state issue, he's going and now he's blaming localities. He's threatened to redirect state funding from counties that fail to show improvement in addressing this homelessness. He's emphasized the need for local governments to take more decisive action on homelessness, describing it as a crisis that requires immediate and effective response. Go figure.
Big words from a big boy.
In Los Angeles County in particular, has been criticized by Newsom for delaying the implementation of laws that expand the criteria for involuntary detention of individuals. So now, in order to create public pressure, he's created an executive order to remove homeless encampments on state property and has urged cities and counties to do so as well. And despite these efforts, local leaders have criticized these strategies, with some arguing they merely shift the problem without providing real solutions. Now we're going to get into you're going to get into the billions with a B of dollars that have seemingly gone missing. But real quick, the state has spent over $27 billion on various homeless initiatives, including encampment cleanups, temporary shelters, and housing conversions. And Newsom's approach includes more conservative measures like expanding conservatorships and forced care, aligning him with more conservative viewpoints within his own party. Go figure. Because he's probably going to run for higher office.
So he had a meeting probably with some Republicans, and he was like, hey, guys, tell me how to fix this.
Yeah, exactly. So there was a I'll let you talk about the state audit. But real quick, there's been controversy over these reallocation of funds. He actually has already acted on his threats by reclaiming a $10 million grant from San Diego County due to inaction and redirecting it to San Jose, emphasizing the need for a more structured and results-driven approach to addressing the homelessness across the state. So homelessness in California has been a huge issue now going on for decades. It's amazing to me that when the Chinese Communist president comes to San Francisco, homelessness ceases to exist within the city limits. And now Newsom, who has aspirations to run for higher office at this point, the next office is likely going to be president. He's kind of coming back to the center like he did on some crime initiatives and things like that. So Let's get your take on all of that.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, after years of systematically dismantling California infrastructure with leftist nonsense, Newsom's on this like redemption campaign to, quote, clean things up. And I'd be interested. I mean, we can talk about, you know, why you think that is or what's causing this. But so he makes this video the other day, right? And you know, whenever you do something heartfelt or sincere, you have to film it so everybody can see. That's how you know you're, you know, so everyone can see how virtuous you are. He makes this video of him like stumbling around in this trash filled canal. It's really goofy. And he's just throwing trash from one side of the ditch to the other side. And then he like stumbles over to the other side. And it's like he's like showing everybody, look how much I care about the trash in this canal. He reminds me of that one sci-fi show where there's like Brother Day. It's that old, you know, book from the 50s where, or like Pharaoh, where I that's how I imagine Newsom waking up and he's like, I am the morning sun, California. Look what I've done for you.
I am Egypt, the morning and the evening star. If I say day is night, it will be written.
I think what's interesting though is what I wonder what is really behind this, because like you said, it's been decades where none of their policies work, as often the case or is always the case with leftism. Nothing they do works because everything they believe is premised on a lie. You know, we often talk about Aristotle and first principles, and it's like when your worldview is incorrect, everything that follows is fruit of the poisonous tree. And that really is a great way to describe the issues that Democrats in general, but California is such a good example of that. Their worldview is so wrong. It's so skewed. They don't know how to help people, even if they had the ability to. And so all of a sudden now, Newsom stumbling around in a trash ditch and, you know, putting this video out on the internet. Something must have, you know, prompted this. You mentioned, you know, federal aspirations. I think he kind of got kicked to the side in favor of Kamala Harris, which is, we can get into that in a second. That's unbelievable. But I imagine that someone, perhaps within the DNC or maybe, you know, at the global level, because he's a big globalist, might have said like, look, dude, like you have a terrible record in California. You have failed horribly. So if you really want to be part of the big boy club, you need to like maybe clean this up, right? It's the most gaslighting ever accomplished by a politician. Like him getting on and yelling at like local PDs and local governments in general is such a slap in the face.
Well, and I could see Klaus Schwab being like, hey buddy, this doesn't look too good for what we're trying to accomplish here. You're not making us look good.
No, because what he's really done is, you know, crime is out of control. Homelessness is out of control. California is losing population. Infrastructure is failing all up and down the coastline. They have major budget issues. They have a complete lack of accountability, which I believe deserves further investigation. You know, Daily Wire this week reporting California can't account for all $24 billion spent on homeless crisis. An audit recently found that out. And I'm like, how do you lose $24 billion? I mean, are we talking gross incompetence? I think it's a good point.
Well, and that's on top of the $30 billion that was lost to the EDD fraud. So we went from a state that had a $30 billion $30 billion in the bank to
surplus.
Surplus is the word I'm looking for. Thank you. To now we have a $27 billion missing here, another $30 billion missing from the EDD fraud. So now we're in the red. It's like, well go figure.
Our whole nation is under attack by the stupidity of leftism. Just real quick, let's point out how, even though we see it highlighted in California, this is actually an issue all across the country. So you have $24 billion, right, that just vanishes in California. They provide no accountability. Also this week, you had a couple U.S. reps talking about how the Obama administration, under the pretense of the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, had given millions, tens of millions of dollars to radical left-wing organizations, some of which openly stated they want to abolish police. One of the organizations that received, I think, $3 million said they don't believe America's a legitimate country. Another organization got tens of millions of dollars, believes that we should abolish all border patrol, that we shouldn't be able to protect our borders. So they are using our tax money and indiscriminately funding anti-American activities.
Inflation Reduction Act, which we have renamed Invest in Radical Activities Act. Who is getting these massive amounts of grants through the EPA? There's $3 billion in the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, that will go for different climate kind of buckets, funding groups that are basically engaged in what I characterize as anti-American activities. They're anti-American, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-police, and anti-border security. First one is climate justice. It's up on the top right-hand bar there, $100 million. They have glorified Hamas in a lot of their social media, on their websites and other things. And they think Israel has no right to exist. They're getting $100 million. This is a direct grant to them. The next one is the NDN Collective. Do you know them? Yes, they're a partner. Yes, they, on their social media, call the United States a so-called country, and also call for the defunding of the police and our United States military. Imagine that in these times right now. Next, we have two New York and New Jersey coalitions that are getting $50 million. They're actually going to be participating in granting $50 million. Their quotes are, the border and concept of citizenship is racist, and wants no collaboration with federal immigration officials, and the ICE agenda is racist as well. Then we have the social and environmental entrepreneurs, $50 million. Again, abolish police, abolish prisons. The latest one, and these were all, those previous ones I'm talking about were all announced in December by the vice president and named on the EPA's materials as they rolled them out through the press. The Ella Baker Center for Human Rights, the most recent funding was announced last week, is getting between $1 and $3 million. And they are actively advocating to defund police, decriminalize shoplifting, and abolish our prisons.
And that's a fact. It's real close to treason. And then the excuse when they're confronted is always, well, we didn't know what was happening, right? Same thing happened with the State Department. As recent investigations, there's a group called Ascari Media Group, which has done a great job digging up this info. And then the Sean Ryan Show also brought this to light recently, that we've been paying, and I say we as American taxpayer dollars, the State Department has sent $80 million a week to the Taliban, totaling over almost $300 million so far. And the Taliban, the terrorist organization that we fought for 20 years, right? And when asked about it, they said it was an accounting error. It's like, that's not good enough. That's insane. So you have this repeat pattern, right? And then we could talk about Trump assassination attempt where, you know, gross negligence and incompetence as well. So you see this pattern, right? Whether it's Newsom in California, the State Department under the Biden administration, it should be Obama, he's actually running stuff, or, you know, the Trump plot, you just see gross incompetence and failure all throughout all levels of bureaucracy in this country. And we should point out that that is what happens when you have a failed worldview to begin with. You have a terrible ideology. You have a DEI way of thinking that says we care more about your ideological allegiance than you being good at your job. So we fill all of the leadership positions in this country with absolute incompetent morons. And people die because of it. And we lose billions of dollars. It goes to literally our enemies. Someone will be held accountable for this, I believe. And that needs to start sooner than later. California has about 30% of the country's homeless people, just to put it into perspective. So all of this, it is extremely ironic that Newsom is out in ditches picking up trash and yelling at locals. It's your fault. You know, it's like, how pretentious and arrogant are you? Like, the buck apparently with Democrats doesn't stop at the top, right? It didn't stop with Director Cheadle at the Secret Service. You know, she's like, yeah, it was a horrible failure, but I ain't going to resign. Until she was pressured to by the farthest left-wing members of her own party, she had to shamefully bow out. And you see that with Newsom, who's, you know, buck stops at the top with him. He's been in charge of this disaster, this burning ship here in California. And now he's blaming local people below him. I will say, as a former, you know, police officer, what a slap in the face this is. I mean, to be out there on the streets answering calls and dealing with the crisis of transients, which is, you know, to clarify, it's not your hobos of the 1930s that are down and out, you know, on their luck and they just need a meal. You know, in San Diego County, for an example, you can get 8 free meals a day, free clothes, free place to stay, free, you know, place to receive your mail. There's tons of programs. They don't want them. They don't want them because Democrats and their way of thinking encourage self-worship. They encourage people to do what's good for you, man. And they encourage drug use by way of handing drugs out at clinics and clean needles. So do people want help? No, they don't want help. They want the free handouts that enable them to continue using drugs. And that's why you have a transient crisis here. That and things like Prop 47, one of the most disastrous decisions ever made in the state of California, that is just absolutely dismantling this state.
Well, and to double down real quick on what you were talking about, so in Oceanside, the city where I grew up, and ironically where you were a police officer for some time, do you remember, I don't know if it was when you were there, but there was the homeless encampment by the Starbucks on the Oceanside Boulevard in the 5.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're all over the place.
Well, they're all over the place. But this one specifically, they started coming into the road, and it was becoming a big nuisance for, like, the Starbucks that's there and everybody else. And so a reporter went down there and said, hey, you know, why are you guys here? Because the city is handing out hotel vouchers where you guys could go stay in a hotel, have a warm place to sleep. And the guy goes, well, that means that I would have to be drug free and sober, and I can't do my drugs in the hotel
room.
That's
racist for you to insinuate.
And I want
to
do, no, that's what he said. And he goes, I want to do my drugs. So that just goes to the point that you made, where, like, this is not like the mom and dad that lost their job in a recession and lost their house and are trying to find the next job and they're down on their luck. Like, these are like people who have serious mental and really mental health issues and drug problems.
Yeah. It's a pretty even split, mental health, drug use, or a combination of both. And I would say it's a working, able-bodied group of individuals. This demographic is 20 to 30-year-olds, maybe a little older. All races represented. It's not a race thing. It's a come to California and be enabled to use drugs and commit crimes thing, right? And Prop 47, we mentioned, which used to get a lot of people off the street, because a lot of way of funding your drug use is property crimes. So there's a clear connection. You know, people talk about, like, free drugs all the time, and they're not honest with themselves in admitting that free drug use leads to all the other problems we deal with, like property crimes, you know, car burglaries, home break-ins, et cetera, shoplifting. And that was overwhelming, because what the Democrats were doing in California was causing more of that crime. So they passed laws that said, well, let's just raise the limit to where you can even arrest people. Let's just not arrest them, right? And so they've just flooded our streets with drug using transients who don't want help and are enabled. And it's at all levels. I mean, it's not just Newsom. It's people like Gascon, a far left lunatic who lets people out of jail when he shouldn't. Right. It's almost like it's on purpose, right? We've talked about that before. It's like the Cloward Piven strategy. They are purposefully destroying, and they talk out of both sides of their mouth. They'll get up and pontificate in Sacramento, here in California at least, about wanting to help people. And at the same time, they'll make decisions that are destroying people's lives. They do, and at the federal level, they do the same thing. Mayorkas gets up there and lies to every American straight to their face. Oh, the border's under control. When you're looking with your own eyes, right, all over social media, it's just flooded with images and videos of mass groups of people crossing the border, now some of which we're going to talk about in a minute, are highly dangerous individuals that have murdered American citizens. There have been terrorists. ISIS members have been caught now. But they'll sit there and tell you, oh, we're doing everything we can to protect the border, while they're purposefully destroying it at the same time. They do the same thing with all their green initiatives. It's a very obvious neo-Marxist approach to destroying the current system, because you hate it so much. You have to destroy it in order to present yourself as the solution and build it back up the way that you want to, right? And they're getting really radical with how they're doing it. You know, they've done all this physical damage to the country, but now, you know, you have these lunatics talking about changing the Supreme Court, adding more people and setting these limits and changing the Constitution. And you have Kamala Harris's crazy left-wing VP, Tim, who's talking about, you know, you don't really have the right to free speech. It's limited. And I mean, it's pretty clear who they are. They've defined themselves as anti-American, you know, progressive Marxist. The question is, what does America do about it, right? Because I don't think they're not hiding anymore. Anyways, we'll see what happens. I think it's astounding that Newsom is gaslighting Americans the way he is, but whatever. Let's get into this. It kind of rolls right into a lack of control on the border, but let's talk about the Pakistani suspect who was recently arrested.
Yeah, so there's a report coming out about a Pakistani suspect involved in a plot to assassinate former and hopefully next president Donald Trump. His name is Asif Raza Merchant, a Pakistani national who was allegedly planning to kill Trump and was surprisingly allowed into the U.S. despite being on a terror watch list. So the FBI granted
shocking.
So the FBI granted him entry under a, quote, significant public benefit parole, end quote, which is typically used for intelligence purposes, but the decision came with a considerable risk. So once in the U.S., Merchant allegedly conspired with an informant, I'm guessing an FBI informant, to plan the assassination, and authorities believe that the plot has connections to individuals in Iran or Pakistan. Fortunately, Merchant was arrested before any harm could be done, and like you said, this incident raises serious questions about national security and the screening processes for individuals on terror watch lists entering the country. It's a developing story that we'll be following closely, but let's get your take coming from the intel community
on how
this happened.
I think it's more gaslighting, right? It's like you think that each incident that occurs, that someone on the left is going to wake up and be like, man, that was really dangerous. That was a close call. Let's change, you know, what we're saying because it's not working. And they don't. They don't, which further sort of bolsters my opinion that there's a purposeful deconstruction of Western civilization occurring here in America right now. This guy's a perfect example. Asif Merchant was 46 years old, right? He's arrested because he was attempting to kill not just one, but he had planned to conduct multiple attacks, different political figures. They haven't announced exactly who it was, but they believe that it included people like Donald Trump and other members of the government. And we have plenty of other historical incidents like this to refer to similar situations. But we know that according to the FBI, he planned to hire men to conduct protest. So he was going to have these like Muslim Islamic protests of the government to distract people and then conduct a attack. But like you mentioned, the whole time he was actually talking to FBI agents, which those were the hitman he was talking to. What I think globally, to put this in perspective, I think it's so scary how dangerous the world has become. I mean, you look at what's going on in the UK right now, right? Look at this guy, okay, compared to that. So this guy, he sees what's happening in the UK, how out of control things are, and he tried to kind of pull something similar, right? Now, from an intel perspective, if I'm working counterterror and I see that a guy is using protest to cover an incident or to blend in, I would certainly be concerned looking at what's going on in the UK, where you have mobs of, you know, Islamic immigrants running through the streets, chanting, you know, jihadist statements and waving Palestinian flags. I mean, it's just absolute chaos. How do you even protect people? And then, of course, UK suffers with a case of you know, the left-wing mind virus. They're about 20 years ahead of us. This week, reports saying that England is starting to arrest British citizens for social media posts that they deem to be offensive. In fact, they've even talked about arresting people who retweet posts that they don't like. So you make a post the government doesn't like, you get 28 months in jail, but yet you have examples of like jihadists who raped and assaulted a young girl and they get like time served in probation. And you can look that up. There's so many examples. They're just scared to death of jihadists in the UK. It's unbelievable. My heart really goes out to British citizens. This is a huge warning to America on what happens if you let leftism go too far. It's dangerous. But back to this guy, Merchant. So this guy gets in despite being on a terror watch list, which is just mind blowing. Somebody should call Mayorkas and tell him the border's not secure, right? Because I don't think he knows. According to a Fox News article we just read that was covering the rest of this guy, Merchant, there have been many other attempts led by IRGC members to kill American political figures. And for those listening, IRGC, we're talking about the Iranian Revolutionary Guard forces. They are controlled by the Ayatollah. They are the radical jihadist armed wing of the Iranian military. And they do a lot of bad stuff around the world. But for example, in 2022, the U.S. charged a 45-year-old member of Iran's IRGC because he offered to pay somebody $300,000 to kill former White House National Security Advisor John Bolton. The suspect, that same guy, also planned to kill Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. We know from my time when I worked for diplomatic security, there was an Iranian attempt to kill the Saudi Arabian ambassador in D.C. as well. And in that case, the Iranian individual was actually talking to a DEA informant, I believe. So very similar in how we caught him this time. But it's amazing. I mean, opening the border, though, and allowing the proliferation of bad actors into your country unvetted, it's just making everyone in the intel community and counterterrorism, it's making their job way harder because one of these days something's going to get through. So another example of that, we can jump over to the Taylor Swift concert terror attack that was foiled.
Yeah, so Taylor Swift was going to have concerts in Vienna, Austria, and it sounds like Austrian security officials have arrested three teenagers who planned on killing large crowds of people in a suicide attack. So officials say the teen, who had previously pledged allegiance to the Islamic state group known as ISIS, confessed that he intended to carry out this attack using explosives and knives. He's one of two suspects arrested on Wednesday. A third, aged 18, was an acquaintance of the main suspect, and he was arrested on Thursday. Swift was planning on having three sold-out shows that she had to cancel, and more than 195,000 people were expected to attend. Local media also reported that the 19-year-old had stolen chemicals from a former workplace, citing that he used to work at a metal processing company in his hometown and that he made progress in building a bomb. They reported that he planned to drive a car into the crowd expected to gather outside the stadium, and security officials at a news conference on Thursday did not comment on where he got the chemicals, which we just read to you where he got them, but public security chief Franz Roof told reporters that chemical substances and technical devices found at the main suspect's house showed, quote, concrete preparatory actions. So the head of Austria's Directorate for Protection of the State and Intelligence, known as DSN, Omar Hajawi Perchner, said that weapons were seized from the suspect's home and that his aim was to kill himself and a large crowd of people either today or tomorrow at the concert.
Great.
They revealed that the main suspect, an Austrian citizen, was born there but had North Macedonian parents and had recently changed his appearance and adapted it to Islamic State propaganda. A second suspect, 17-year-old Austrian of Turkish or Croatian heritage, was employed at the company which provided services, security services, at the stadium where Swift was to perform.
Yeah.
They have both remanded in custody. There's also reports of a 15-year-old who was in the area of the stadium, and he's being questioned. So my question is, in a you're talking a 15, a 17, and a 19-year-old. In today's day and age, you can barely get kids to get off the couch. How do you get a hold of people like this and radicalize them enough to not only kill other people, but also kill themselves?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Radicalization happens in a lot of different ways. And I think it depends on where you're at, right? But mostly in Western countries where radicalization occurs, a lot of it happens in prison, believe it or not. But amongst young people, like the ones you described, I believe there was an 18-year-old that was arrested today. I just read about 6 hours ago, they put that out. A lot of that, I believe, this is where the left is absolutely complicit in this, because the claims coming from, and to clarify, these guys in the Taylor Swift plot were radicalized by ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Everything ISIS and Al-Qaeda says is absolute garbage, right? They lie. They lie about the world. They lie about, you know, how the only way to get to Allah is by blowing people up and murdering non-Muslims. And yet, instead of a stern rebuke from Western media, what you consistently hear from those on the left is they placate them. They apologize, right? We see this recently with these horrific Hamas terrorist attacks in Israel. And then you had liberal universities all across the country out protesting in favor of these monsters, evil Hamas terrorists. So that doesn't help is what I'm saying. Because when you're 15, 16, 17 years old, and you're listening to ISIS and Al-Qaeda say things about the world, and then mainstream media on the left seems to confirm, yeah, you know, everybody's racist and they all hate you and America's bad, which is all they say all day long. You have the perfect mix, right? It's the perfect compound to create a radicalized individual. It's the same reason why the media has been real silent about this attempt assassination against Donald Trump, because for years up until then, all they did is talk about how evil he was and he's Hitler and he's the worst thing and democracy's going to end. And well, what do you think is going to happen? You have a lot of young people who believe the garbage coming out of your mouth, and then they go and they take action. And that's often the case. You know, it's very similar to the Sarnia brothers. When you look at the Boston Marathon bombing, these young guys were radicalized, right? And oftentimes they traveled back to countries in the Middle East where they received training, et cetera. I don't know as much about the Taylor Swift incident. I'm sure we'll find out, but yeah. And what's to give you an example, right, is just like a week ago, you have, I'm going to throw this up for those watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see this picture. Here are some self-described Swifties. These are girls going to a Taylor Swift concert, holding up signs that say Swifties for Palestine and we demand swift action. See what they did there? So these idiots are like the reporter, the journalist activist guy that we talked about last episode. The Italian activist who, you know, is like, yay, river to the sea. And he moves to Gaza and he gets beheaded. That's you have this sort of mental illness that proliferates the left, and that they say one thing with their mouth. It's totally contrary to self-preservation and reality. And so I don't think that helps. So especially over here in the UK, right, where you have the government literally arresting people for, quote, offending Muslims. And then what do you think is going to happen? Then you have Al-Qaeda going, yeah, see, even their own government says that Western civilization is evil and rotten, and here's how you can make a difference, right? Slowly but surely, these young guys get radicalized. What's really crazy is that the next Taylor Swift concert is actually set to happen back in Manchester, where you might recall that was the site of the Ariana Grande concert attack, where another young boys, right, Islamic jihadist, one of them blew himself up with a suicide vest in the middle of a bunch of concert goers, killed 22 people, I believe. It's in response to that, that's coming up again, because now Taylor Swift's next concert is going to be in Manchester. And the mayor of London has said that authorities have adapted their surveillance of shows in London based in part on what they had learned from 2017 at this Ariana Grande attack. But if you're watching the news, you'll see that they have no control over Islamic jihadists in the UK. Like, they're running rampant through the streets, gangs of people with knives, murdering, in many cases, raping people. That just happened not too long ago. Less than 2 weeks ago, three girls were killed and 10 people injured when they attended a Taylor Swift themed dance and yoga workshop in Southport there in the UK. So this is an ongoing thing. If I was in the UK, I wouldn't be going to a Taylor Swift concert. Just saying. They can't even get their own streets under control, and they're punishing, conservatives and their own citizens who speak out against the insanity of this left-wing nonsense. And they do it just like Orwell said, right? It's 1984. They control the narrative. They determine what's true. Anybody who disagrees with them, it's hate speech. It's hate speech. Don't you dare disagree with me. It's absolutely insane. I wouldn't go to the concert, but I'd have to see some more, some trustworthiness. Yeah, that's insane. Well, I'm glad they stopped these young guys from doing it. I'm sure there'll be more about that as time goes on. Okay. So last but not least, let's get into a quick Israel update. We talked last episode about an impending Iranian attack. Nothing has come by way of a major attack yet. We're all still sort of on the edge of our seat waiting, but a lot has happened. So no attack as of this time, but major, and I mean really major, Western forces have moved into the Middle East. At least half of the world's F-22s are now in the Mediterranean area of operation. I think that has Iran quite scared. The government in Iran is sort of facing off against the Ayatollah and the IRGC because they're real split over their insane death wish. The IRGC wants to do this massive attack directly on Israel. They want to hit civilian targets and populations. They want to do their whole jihadist, you know, bloodbath, death wish thing. The Iranian president is trying to say, no, you shouldn't do that. Let's hit Israeli government, you know, and espionage operations in other countries, etc. So that might be behind the holdup occurring. I think they're scared to death because the Iranian president is probably looking at Western forces that have amassed in the area, right, in CENTCOM, and is realizing, like, we're all going to die if we mess with Israel and the Americans, right? Meanwhile, on the ground, IDF continues to fight terrorists in Gaza like they have been. This week, there was a big operation in Rafah. They've been fighting in tunnels and in urban environments because they still have to deal with Hamas, active elements of Hamas there right next to them in Gaza. I did see an interesting clip, a video taken from a building near the port in Beirut that showed what looked like U.S. warships in the port of Beirut. But a bunch of media folks asked, I guess, in a press briefing, the president of Lebanon, and he's like, oh, I don't know anything about that. But you can Google it. I won't say the names of the ships, but there's programs out there you can see and track warships throughout the world. And there's a whole bunch of them in that area right now. There's French warships. There's a German warship. There's American warships. The UK has ships in the area. I mean, we're ready to throw down, right? I think we're calling Iran's bluff. And who knows what they're going to do. I don't think that we're anywhere near the end of this. Even if Iran backs off their initial bloodbath claims, you still have to deal with the issue of their development of a nuclear weapon. And that's something that the world leaders have put off for a long time. But in the end, it's going to come back to bite them. They're going to have to deal with it eventually. It's not going away. Iran doesn't tell the truth about anything. So we don't really know much about their development unless it's through espionage channels. And recent intel briefs, like we discussed last episode, indicate that they are closer than ever, that it's imminent that they have a nuclear warhead. They have the delivery platform. So the question for the West is, do we let the lunatics drop a nuke or do you preemptively strike and take care of the problem? We will see. I don't know what the result of that is going to be, but that's what's going on. We're checking the news on a daily. Well, that's our show for today. If you can, please remember to follow us on Instagram, Defining Truth on Instagram, and also on YouTube, Defining Truth on YouTube. You can check out the podcast, follow us for updates, and go to our website, definingtruth.org, and sign up for email updates, and you'll just get notifications when new shows come out, podcasts, breaking news, etc. Till next time.